Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Zach, I am someone who would never vote for a pitcher for the MVP. And I think you can make more of a case for it actually in a short season, but I'm anti-pitcher winning the MVP. What do you have to say about that, Zach? Anti-pitcher MVP guy like me.
Yeah, I voted for MVP the past a few years, and I don't believe I've included a pitcher
right
on my ballot. I don't know what I'm going to do this year. That might change. I don't know. I think this year is weird. I mean, you can make the argument that because it's a shorter sample, it's been more difficult for the position players to kind of separate themselves. You know, there isn't one no-brainer option when you look at all the hitters who have had decent 50-game samples. So maybe you go with a pitcher who's been especially dominant. You know, I think it's going to be – I think you're going to see all sorts of ballots. You know, old-school people who won't have any pitchers on there. Wouldn't be surprised if Bieber gets some top MVP consideration. And then, I mean, you could have like four or five different players getting first place votes.
Yeah, I think, Jose Ramirez definitely belongs in the mix. You talk about his WAR being number one, according to, I think he said Fangraphs, right?
Yep.
And I'm kind of, even though I like the Indians more than the White Sox, there's something would be cool about Jose Abreu winning the MVP, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's having the best year probably of his career at a point when I think a lot of people had just, you know, written him off as a kind of like a low on base guy who could hit for some power. Certainly, I think the reason people were excited about that lineup had everything to do with all the young guys in there and little to do with him. And yet he's had a great season. I mean, Tim Anderson's had a really good season for them.
Yep.
It's interesting. I mean, it depends. Again, it depends on what criteria voters prioritize, because like Ramirez leads the league in WAR, but I mean, if you look at the batting average, the on-base percentage, the slugging percentage of like Jose Abreu or Tim Anderson, you know, and the Ramirez doesn't really hold a candle to those guys. So it's going to be interesting. I think you're really going to see, you know, certain ballots might have someone in first place, and on another ballot, that person might be in ninth place. It's going to be all over the map.
How about Ramirez compared to last year? To this year? I know it's a shortened season and all that, but how do you think he looks?
I think for the most part, he's looked like the guy we saw in the second half. I mean, the first two-thirds of last season, he looked just completely stumped. I think I always go back to the opening series in Minnesota to start 2019, and they put four outfielders out there against him. And he, like, didn't know what to do. And they shifted the infield all the way around. And I think he tried so desperately to adjust to what defenses and pitchers were doing to him instead of just relying on his strengths. And I think this season, I mean, you've seen it. Like, he doesn't swing and miss. Like, you can't get anything past him. So I think he finally stopped caring about what they were doing and realized, you know what? I was an MVP finalist twice. I put up the numbers before. I just need to rely on what I'm really good at. And, you know, I know that he's had a little bit of an injury issue this season where he was bothered by, you know, a bruised hand. He says that feels great now. And, I mean, it sure looks like it. He had four home runs over the weekend. You can tell with him the way he kind of walks around the field. If he's chirping nonstop, that means things are going right. And it seems like he's been that way for most of this season.
We're talking with Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, obviously, Indians did a nice job against the Tigers, taking 3 out of 4 following that long losing streak, and they have done a good job against the bad teams. Now they play a good team again this week, and they're trying to clinch their playoffs bottom, and it's just a matter of time because there's only 8 good teams in the American League. How much do you think the seeding matters? I mean, I look at the top teams right now, Oakland, the White Sox, and Tampa. They're all really good. I mean, do you think the Indians have a preference between those three?
Probably not. Maybe there's some familiarity with the White Sox, and maybe that would help. And the White Sox are new to this. Maybe you consider that an advantage. But the way I look at it is, I mean, to be honest, I think Toronto and Houston are probably the two teams,
no doubt,
that other teams would prefer to face. But, you know, I think teams – look, I don't think teams are going to go into a series saying, oh, no, it's the big bad Indians and what are we going to do? I do think there is a lot of respect for the Indians pitching staff.
Yes.
And in a 3 or a 5-game series with no off days, I think that gives the Indians a little bit of an advantage. That said, you look at the Rays, the White Sox, the A's, the Twins, the Yankees, those teams are all really, really good. And you're going to have to beat 2 or 3 of them to get to the World Series. So it's like, you know, it doesn't even really matter who they face. You're going to have to beat really good competition. You're going to have to kind of just flip a switch, because there's been no evidence that, like, Carlos Santana's going to get hot, or Lindor hit with runners in scoring position, or, you know, you're going to get any production from the catching position or the outfield. Some of that's going to have to happen if this team makes a run, and you're just going to have to, you know, you never want to go into the postseason with your plan A being, you know, just get in and get hot, but that's kind of what they're doing. So I don't know that it really matters who they face. They're just going to have to rely on their starting pitching and hope that they get a few timely hits.
Zach, you know, Tristan McKenzie, you know, got off to a really fast start here and looked great and was bringing the heat. His velocity's down a little bit here as of late. Is that a concern?
They don't seem concerned about it. You know, you have to remember the guy didn't pitch in an actual game for 2 years and then randomly gets called up in the middle of a crazy season. And, you know, certainly you'd have the adrenaline early on. I know his debut, he was hitting 96. And so, yeah, it's actually gone down every single one of his starts. And the other night he was 89, 90, 91, which isn't what you want to see. But when you consider the road he's taken to get here, it's understandable. I mean, he just doesn't have the endurance. He hasn't been built up. He hasn't been through this before. And not only that, but, I mean, keep in mind, like, these guys – it's not like they were just sitting at home during quarantine and had their feet up on the couch watching Netflix. I mean, they were still throwing. And for McKenzie, you know, he's never been pitching still in late September. This is all kind of uncharted territory for him. So, you know, he's only going to make one more start, I think, maybe two. I don't remember what the schedule is. I know they're going to shuffle all the starting pitching here this week. So, and that's if they even plan to do that. I mean, it wouldn't be surprising if he went to the bullpen or something. So it's not like they're asking a ton of him, and they're really pleased with what they've seen. I think it's just a matter of, this is a guy who's been sidelined for 2 years, and so, you know, these are parts of the recovery process.
But with the no days off, Zach, I mean, don't you think, you know, if they get to the second round, don't you think they're going to go 5 starters, or do you think they might bring back, well, trying to think when Bieber could Bieber pitch game 1 of the ALCS or the ALDS. I can't remember. I'm trying to think. If he pitches AL 1 of the first round, could he come back, pitch AL 1 of the DS? I'm not sure. But if he did, in theory, you think they'd bring him back on 3 days rest in game 5, or would they go to a 5th starter?
I think it's something they would entertain. Yeah. You know, you don't – would you feel more comfortable if a series is tied 2-2? Would you – prefer to have McKenzie out there starting or Bieber on short rest? I think you'd probably go Bieber, just with how dominant he's been this season. But these are conversations they're going to have, and, you know, it's going to be fascinating to watch. And what's crazy about this, and this is just how baseball has operated all year, teams didn't even know this was going to be the format until a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, you're thinking, man, imagine if they still had Clevinger, and then in a 5-game series, you could roll out Bieber, Clevinger, Carrasco, Savali, and Plesac. Like, there's no other team that could match up with that. So,
no.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. They're going to have decisions to make, and every team's going to be in this boat. I think you're going to see more bullpen games in the playoffs than you've ever seen before.
Oh, yeah, certainly, because the Indians are really, I mean, one of very few teams that have five legitimate starters, if we're, you know, including McKenzie on that. But who do you think pitches game two, by the way? Is it Plesac? Is it Carrasco?
It's one of them. I don't know. You know, I think we'll learn that tonight or tomorrow morning, depending on how they assemble the rest of this week's rotation. That's a good question. My hunch told me all along, I just felt like they would go with Carrasco because he's the veteran and he's pitched in playoff games before and all that. I don't know if any of that really matters, especially with the environment the playoffs are taking place in this year where there's going to be no fans. It's going to be a neutral field after the first round. I don't know. I would guess that those three would be their first round starting pitchers, and then Savali would join the fold for the next round. But we'll see. There's a lot of different things they could do. You know, they've even talked about it might depend on what team they face and who might match up better with the opposing lineup.
We're talking with Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, you know, you talk about, you know, based on that, I think there's one day off between the first round and the second round. Oh, no. You get more than that. So Bieber will be able to go. Yeah, he will be able to go game one. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. Let's go back to the lineup here. We all know the struggles of the rest of the lineup, you know, outside of – you know, what's funny is even Carlos Santana's had a really terrible season. Like, he's one of the guys you thought you could rely on, and you thought maybe you'd bring him back next year, maybe in a cheaper – he's had a terrible year, Zach. Terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make a – look, they weren't going to exercise that option for whatever it is, 17, 18 million. And now it's, I mean, they have a very easy excuse to point to. Look at the guy's numbers. And he's going to be 34 years old right now. So, you know, that doesn't mean that his tenure in Cleveland is over by any means, but that's, you know, it's going to be a rough free agent winter. That's what everybody is forecasting. And if you're going to trot into that market with, you know, 190 average and a 640 OPS, you know, it's going to be tough to find the sort of contract that you want. So, you know, for a while, he was walking so much early in the season that I think everybody said, okay, well, it buys him some time to get the bat going, and the bat just never got going.
Nope,
and, you know, you're not going to walk at a 33% rate for the entire season, so that slowed down a little bit. You know, because he was running a 400 on base percentage for a long time, but now that's way down. And it seems like he just hasn't really hit a lot of balls hard. He hasn't hit a lot of deep drives. It's just like a lot of weak contact and grounders. And it's kind of abnormal for him.
Hey, Zach, how do you think Sandy Alomar has done as manager with Terry Francona being out?
Oof. Yeah, and that's a good one. I wrote about that today, too. You know, he'd be the first to admit that this has not been perfect by any means. It hasn't been the smoothest ride. I remember, like, he didn't ask for this. He didn't come into the season expecting that he was going to be thrown into the manager's chair. And not only that, but it's not just Tito who's gone. I mean, Brad Mills is gone. Ty Van Berkelio's gone. You've got Mike Sarbaugh in the dugout now. So you have new first and third base coaches, which might help explain why the Indians have been thrown out on the bases more than every other team. So it's been a learning process. He's made mistakes with his decision-making in games that he admits, you know, that probably wasn't the right move, or, you know, I made that decision with conviction at the time, but watching the game back, like, maybe I should have done this instead. You know, he admits this has not been perfect. I think there have been some really questionable, you know, whether it's a pinch hit decision or leaving a pitcher out there. I don't know what Bieber was doing, throwing 118 pitches the other night in a 10-run game.
Nuts.
But I also think it's tough. And I know people have said, oh, well, this proves why he never got a managerial job. Yeah, but this is different. You know, not to mention, like, there are new extra inning rules. There are the new three batter minimum rule. You've got to, you know, stay on top of everybody about the COVID protocols and what everybody's doing it, and this is a new process to make decisions. You know, it's not like he's usually working with the front office to determine who should be in the lineup or pinch hit or which relievers he should use when. You know, this is all brand new, and so I think it's a difficult position for anybody to be in. I think there have been some ups and downs. You know, it's the one thing that his other coaches have told him over and over is don't just try to guess what Francona would do in a certain situation. Just be yourself. And I think that's kind of – I think it's easier said than done sometimes because I think he doesn't want to rock the boat too much and he wants to make sure, you know, if Francona does come back at some point, you know, it's not like he's changed everything and there's a different way of doing things. So it's a difficult task for anyone. I think it would be unfair if I, you know, gave him a grade or something. So I think when I wrote it today, I kind of just let him speak for himself. And he's been honest about it. You know, he said, like, I'm hard on myself. I try to do the best I can. Like, I understand when people critique certain decisions I make. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens moving forward.
Zach, you're right. Nobody should hold this against Sandy. He was put in an impossible spot in the middle of the season. Didn't have the whole offseason to prepare to be manager. It's not fair to be overly critical. I did hate you referenced it, the letting Bieber pitch, well, I think it was the eighth inning of that game, going out there. It was 10. I mean, what was he thinking? What did he say about that?
Yeah, I guess he and Carl Willis had said, you know, his pitch limit was about 110, 115. He was at 99 going into that inning. And he came out there, he was at 106, and I think he was facing what probably would have been his last batter, and it just happened that the guy drew an eight-pitch walk.
Yeah.
So then he's at 114. Then Sandy went out, and he said, look, do you want to face one more hitter or not? First of all, that should be your decision to make as the manager. You don't need to let the pitcher convince, because the pitcher's not going to ask out of the game.
Of course.
So next thing you know, he's up to 118, and it results in a three-run homer, which bumped up his ERA quite a bit. So, yeah, I mean, he said that's a learning experience, and that's something, you know, someone who's been in that managerial position, who has made those sorts of decisions with those players before, probably would have done it differently. So that's a tough thing. It's a 60-game season. You have all these new rules, new protocols, new situations. It's not an ideal, you know, position for anybody to be placed in the middle of the season.
Final thing, Zach. And traditionally, if you make the playoffs, you celebrate. Will the Indians do any kind of celebration in this weird season when they might be like the 7 or 8 seed?
So there will be no champagne, none of that nonsense in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
The weird thing is, so their magic number is 2, but they've got to wait to see if the Mariners win or lose tonight. If the Mariners lose and the Indians win today, they would clinch a spot. And I think the Mariners play late, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't think there's going to be much of anything. The other thing is, more than half the league makes it. They're going to make it as, like, the 7 seed. You know, I think they all realize in the clubhouse, like, there are larger goals to attain here, and this is far from worthy of some big blowout party. So I don't think you'll see much.
Yeah, Mariners playing at 9:10 out on the West Coast. All right, Zach, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
All right, Zach Meisel.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.